Welcome to Mustard Seed Ministries radio program. This is Don Lee Cameron, and it is an honor and a joy to be with you today. Today I'd like to talk about the last words of Jesus. I want to focus on one specific thing that Jesus has said, Father, forgive them. And we see this in Scripture. Let's turn to the Bible in Luke 23, verse 34. That's Luke 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We see this in context is that our King was on the cross. The multitudes of people that followed him, the women were lamenting, the men were running. It looked like everything that was promised and everything that was said was completely broken at that point. You know, in your own life, you may be faced with a situation in your life that you feel broken. You feel that you cannot go on and that nothing looks like it should be going. And it seems like the enemy has overrun the camp. That's what the situation was there. This may look like a disastrous situation, but I got this. And people couldn't understand it. And Jesus was in complete control because he was able to see the people's weaknesses and that they didn't understand what they were doing. Even the Roman soldiers at that time when they were leading Jesus, they whipped him and they led him like a lamb to the slaughter, right up to Calvary to crucify him. And Jesus said simply, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We see in John chapter 16, even the people, maybe even the church, they will seem like they're doing a favor for God, or maybe some type of religious organization feels like they are doing a service to God. We see this in John chapter 16. It says, this is Jesus speaking, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Isn't that interesting? That people think that they're doing a service for God by putting other people to death. When God even says in his word, love your enemy as yourself. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Forgive those people or else you will not be forgiven by your Father in heaven. We see this clearly. The way of God. God sent his only begotten Son to come down here and had to teach us how to live with one another. We are broken people from one generation after another. God didn't send his only begotten Son down here for the healthy. He sent him down here for the sick. And the ironic point about that statement is that we see that all have fallen short of the glory of God. So he has sent Jesus Christ down to this earth for the world, for every human being that's ever lived on this earth. Jesus Christ is the answer. We see that in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that scripture very well, John 3:16. Well, has anyone ever read John 3:17? That scripture that is very well known in every evangelistic crusade or every evangelistic outreach. Mostly pastors will say that. You see it at the football game and different people have that written on their helmets or different items. What about 3:17? It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We see that God has come to this earth to save humanity. And we think, maybe not the true believers in Christ and in him alone, but people in this world, they may call themselves a Christian. They may be confessing Christianity as their religious faith. Their fruit is so far from it. You know, statistics say that in apartment buildings or even gated communities, about 98% of the people, and this is just in America, They're not affiliated with a local church. In Matthew 7:13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many or go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." And that's what we all are doing. We're dying. We're dying in our sins. You know, the Bible talks about we're dead in our trespasses. And if that is so be the case, and we are Bible believers, why wouldn't you want to share the gospel with somebody? And then ultimately, pray for them for healing. And then right after that, talking about the narrow way, it says, "Beware of false prophets." And I just think it's really interesting and how most people that have a concern about offending somebody or preaching repentance and faith alone in Christ, they're going to water down the gospel in some way or form. Because a bad fruit tree will never produce fruit. A good fruit tree will produce good fruit. And it's right here in Scripture, right here in Matthew 7. And we see that, you know, in 15, we just talked about it, says, "Beware of a false prophet who comes to you in sheep's clothing." That means that they're disguised as Mr. Bible Man, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. When you start to spend time with someone, you'll start to see their fruit. Anyone, anywhere can put on a good face for a few hours, but it takes a real person of God and with character to walk every single day, every single night with God. You're not going to be perfect, but if you blow it, you're going to hate your sin. And that's the difference. You're not going to love your sin. You're not going to want to step tiptoeing in the sin. You're going to want to stay away from it. You're going to say, "Oh, I know where that's leading. I'm going to come over here." And you know what? You're going to want to do things with God. You want to share Jesus with other people. You won't be ashamed of the gospel, you know, because you're going to have power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an empowerment to go proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got to lift up your voice and you got to preach. You know, on Pentecost, the power of God came into the upper room. They were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what was the next action? Yeah, they were prophesying. They were speaking in tongues. You know what they were doing? They were preaching the gospel. They were going out and preaching the gospel to all nations at that moment. And the most powerful thing is that Peter stood up and he proclaimed the gospel when he knew that it wasn't popular. And he knew that Jesus Christ just died on that cross. He knew it wasn't long ago that his Savior just died on that cross and was persecuted. And the warnings were going out. Don't say his name anymore. And the boldness of Peter getting up there and preaching the gospel was a huge sign, wonder, and a miracle to everyone to see. And 3,000 were joined into the church that day. Praise God. You know, we see in Matthew 7, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" That should be a strong indication and a humbling statement from Jesus Christ. Just because you make a decision, that is not salvation. Just because you've answered a call to go to the altar call, that's not salvation. Salvation only is a work of a miracle that God can only create, because he says that he takes out the stony heart and he puts a heart of flesh in there. Takes your wickedness and transforms you into a holy man or a holy woman. He removes the anger and puts in peace. He removes the fear and puts in boldness. He removes the bitterness and unforgiveness, and he puts in forgiveness as you go out and forgive others. And that's why we're going to end with this, is that, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I had a dear brother of mine that was speaking ill will and lies about me towards other ministers and other people, not only in the church that I was going to, but other people that were outside of the church that knew me. And I don't know what they were. Not even concerned about what they are. That's not the point where I'm going to make here. What I am trying to make a point here is that people will think they're doing a service for God by throwing you out of the synagogue or the church, and some will even kill you. And that is a jealous spirit operates subtly in the church today. That jealousy is a strong spirit, and it needs to be dealt with. But it's rampant in the church today, and it's rampant in the streets all over the world, everywhere. Well, this dear brother was spreading rumors and lies about me and saying different things. He came to me one night and he said, brother, I need to speak to you. And he confessed his sin. He says, I've really wrestled with this with God. He's like, I don't know what it is, but he says, I feel jealous about you, you know, doing ministry. And he said, I just wanted you out. I just wanted you to leave. And I didn't know how to do it. But he said, ever since I started to get to know you, I just wanted you to go. And he says, I've told people lies. I've said all kinds of things about you that were not true. And he says, I want to ask for your forgiveness. And that hurt my feelings because, you know, I knew that there was something going on, but I couldn't put my finger on it because I was wondering why I was getting a cold shoulder by some ministers. And I don't even know if that was the case or not, but regardless of it, I didn't want to analyze it or meditate on it. What I did want to meditate on it is to hopefully restore my brother back to a good relationship with God, but also with each other. That was my thought, really, in my heart and my mind at that time. And I said, you know, brother, I forgive you. I said, but, you know, it hurts me to know that you've done that, because what you've said can never be taken back. You've said it. It's almost like a soundbite. Someone edits it and they say, oh, this is what he said. And they miscue it. They do it all the time in politics. Oh, you know, this is what he said. And then they run with it. And before you know it, it's already out there on the internet, newspaper. And then next thing you know, the story is gone. You know, it's gone from one area to another. It's just, you know, it's gone. You can't do anything about it. And I just said to this guy, I said, listen, I said, I don't know what God's telling you to do about that, maybe going to the people that you told. I said, I'll leave that between you and the Lord. But I said, for you and me, I forgive you. Let's pray together. We prayed together and I felt like things were good. Months go by. He did it again. He came to me and he says, oh, I've done it again. I've been spreading lies and spreading rumors about you, this and that. Will you forgive me? And I did. I did the same thing. We sat there and prayed together. But I said, you know, why are you doing this? And, you know, it's interesting because he may be facing in his life that temptation, that lying, that jealous spirit. But others face other things. I face different things that I battle with. And you know what? They all affect other people. You can't say, oh, I'm sinning and it's just, you know, me and me alone. No, you're affecting other people because you have a ministry that God's given you. And if you're not ready in season and out of season, then guess what? You're affecting other people and your sin nature is affecting other people. So it's time to repent and get right with God. There's other people that are out there that don't recognize that what they're doing is wrong. There's other people out there that just spread lies and rumors about people because they want to destroy them. And those are those wolves in sheep's clothing. And I want to encourage you to love those people. God sure did. Jesus Christ did on the cross. Who was out there in the crowd? He already talked to the women out there telling them about, don't weep for me, daughters of Jerusalem. Here's the Roman soldiers, if you read on, right there in Luke 23, 32. Who was out there in the crowd? The Roman soldiers were there. You see in verse 35 that they were, you know, mocking him. These are the soldiers, the Roman soldiers. There was the chief priest. They were all out there. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious people of the day. And there was just bystanders out there. And there was probably loved ones of the family members of the people that were, you know, the criminals that were out there weeping for their loved ones being executed. Jesus Christ himself looked at the crowd of people. He was beaten and bruised. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And people do not know what they are doing is wrong. That is why Jesus Christ set you free and filled you with his Holy Spirit to go out and tell everyone to come in to the banquet table. Go to the highways, go to the byways, tell them all, tell everyone and anyone about Jesus Christ. And you done your part, my friend. Lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, cast them out in Jesus' name. Do signs, wonders, and miracles for Christ. Do the will of God by telling others about God and stay humble. And this first teaching, I believe that God has given to us in his final last words, forgive them. Just forgive them. It's time to forgive them. Let's pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, for a heart of repentance now, that we would humble ourselves before your holy word, that we would repent of unforgiveness, bitterness in our heart, Lord, that those that are out there that have done us wrong, Lord, they have wronged us in so many ways, Lord. They've hurt us, Lord. They've said things, they've done things, Lord. They've thrown us out of the church, Lord. They've even tried to kill us, Lord. We're broken. Our feelings are hurt. Our flesh is hurt. Our heart is hurt, Lord. Father, give us the heart of your heart, Lord. Let us forgive them, God, as you forgave them, Lord. As you don't hold it against them, Lord. Let us not hold it against them, Lord. Let us forgive, Lord. Give us the love, Lord. Show us how to love, Jesus. Teach us, Lord. We need you, God. We need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe. More than the song I sing. More than my next heartbeat. More than anything, I need you by my side. Lord Jesus, as we sang that song together, Lord, we need you, Lord. We need you to walk with us and talk with us, Lord. We need your help, Lord, to deal with people that hurt us, Lord. Those that come against us, Lord, we need your forgiveness, Lord. So let us be like fools for you, Christ. Go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, where it's foolishness to those that don't believe. It will be like sweet water for those that believe. It will be a miracle. And Father, bring souls into your kingdom, Lord. We ask, Father, to bless this time together, Lord, and let your Holy Spirit come right now. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And as you listen today, prayed with me today, I believe right now that God's working a miracle in your life, that the Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name, his kingdom is coming right now in your heart, and he's going to help you forgive them, because that is his prayer, and that was one of his final last words. I leave you with this, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I love you in Christ Jesus. Until next time, may God bless you, let his face shine upon you, and let him strengthen your heart and give you the love that is shed abroad through his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. He's alive and he's seated as King.